Hello and welcome to Living Hope. This is Pastor Staten, and I want to welcome everybody that is joining us today. A shout out to our e-family, all of you that are joining us through the internet. I want to remind you every Sunday morning you can join us live at tv.livinghopemd.com. I pray that today's message blesses you and that you enjoy the word as it is shared today.
I'm so lost to be found, and I know it's in my mind.
Amen. I wonder, can you raise your hands to give him praise? Hallelujah. Without you, I wouldn't be here tonight. God, I'm here because you made a way when there didn't seem like there was a way. Hallelujah. You made a way. And if you did it before, amen, he can do it again. Not only can he do it again, he will do it again. Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. You can return to your seats. And before Brother Sylvia comes to minister tonight, two other needs that I know I had mentioned to folks that we would pray for. Sister Aura. Amen. I don't know if you're familiar. Some of you may know who Sister Aura is. She's been coming for several months. And I think Sister Lauren, she told me she's connected with you and starting to help with some intercessory prayer. And we need all the prayer warriors we can get. Amen. And anyway, Sister Aura has a housing family situation that she needs our prayer. And so I told her that we would pray for her. Sister Marilyn is out in California. She is, a couple weeks ago she went to St. Louis and looked at going. She's looking at different Bible colleges to attend. She went out to Urshan, and now she's at CLC. And we just want to pray for Marilyn that God would direct her steps. Amen. I'm proud. Marilyn's got a gift. She connects with people, and every youth event we have, she brings five or six different friends with her. And how many know God can use those gifts for his kingdom? Especially when we surrender those gifts and give them to him. Amen. And so I ask you all, pray for Sister Aura, pray for Sister Marilyn, that the Lord would meet each of those needs. And speaking of gifts, Brother Eric is going to come right now. Eric has many gifts. And I'm proud of him for staying in the church and in the kingdom and giving those gifts to the kingdom of God. Amen. Eric, we want you to preach to us tonight.
Praise the Lord, Living Hope. Praise the Lord, Living Hope. Why don't we just give a hand clap of praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. We thank you for being mighty. We thank you for being powerful. We thank you for being everlasting to everlasting. How's everybody doing today? Good? We all doing great? I ask the youth that every Sunday, and if they say good, I ask them, why is it just good? Why is it not great? So praise the Lord. So if you want to turn to Lamentations 3, I'm going to pull from verse 22 and 23. Before I get started, I would like to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity, and Bishop as well. I don't take this opportunity lightly. Not everybody's going to get a chance to be able to speak in front of a wonderful congregation like yourself, and so I'm very, very thankful, very, very thankful that I get this opportunity today. But Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, say amen if you're there, and if you're not there, it's on the screens, and you should be bringing your Bible, so bring it next Sunday or Wednesday, and I will be checking in. Raise your hand if you do not have your Bible. I'm going to find you. I'm just kidding. But Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You can put your Bibles down and let's pray before I get started. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would touch this service today. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity to get to preach and to declare the gospel to this wonderful church. I ask that you would touch every ear that hears this sermon today. I ask that you would touch their hearts to receive it and their minds to understand it. And I ask that you would touch me today as I preach. Help me to be effective and anointed. And let your will be done today and let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we seal that with a hand clap of praise? In Jesus' name. All right, you can be seated, and I'm going to start off today's preaching with a little story that I heard recently, and it goes like this. There was a preacher of a church in a small town, and it was a small church, and it was in Kentucky. And he was known as being a very well-respected preacher. And he had high regards. This church had actually specifically reached out to him to preach to them about his famous sermon, and that's the mercies of God. And one Sunday, he was preaching to the congregation about the goodness and the mercy of God. He was preaching extremely passionate because he was trying to communicate the goodness and the mercy of God and how true and how real it is today. The preacher kept repeating, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow you." He would go on to tell the congregation that no matter where they went or what they did, it would be with them. And while the preacher was preaching, he went up to a young girl in the congregation sitting right up front, and he said, "You know, surely goodness and mercy will follow you always." And with no hesitation, that girl looked him square in the face and said, "Preacher, I don't know who surely goodness and mercy are, but if they keep following me, they're going to get a restraining order." Surely goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy. But today's title, I am going to be preaching on, if I forget it, his mercies never fail. His mercies never fail. We see in Luke, Jesus tells us a parable about a son and his father. It starts like this. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me." You see, it was a pretty arrogant statement right off the bat. He's saying, "Father, I know you're still alive, and I know you're still doing well, but I deserve something, and I want it now. I don't want to wait for it." That was an arrogant statement right off the bat. And so what the father did is he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had. The inheritance he was just given, he took it, and he went into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. What does that mean? He threw it away. He got rid of it. He did something with it he probably wasn't supposed to do. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine rose across the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of those citizens of that country who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. I hate pigs. I hate them. I can't stand them. Pastor can tell you, this last Sunday, I told him, I said, there's a reason pigs were once not supposed to be eaten. Those things are nasty. Go watch a video. Go watch a video of how pigs live. Look at their environment they live in. Pig don't even taste that great. Pork chops? I refuse to put that in my body. Bacon is about the only thing I'll come close to. But that man, he decided to go feed some pigs. That's nasty. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. You know what that is? Y'all seen pigs eat? Have y'all seen pigs eat? That's a question. Raise your hand if you've seen a video of a pig eating. That's nasty. They eat it, they spit it back out, and then they eat it again. That's what he wanted to eat. That's nasty. Man, and that's what he desired. That's what he was longing for. He just looked at it, and it looked like a ribeye. That mess looked like a ribeye with some mashed potatoes and some greens to him. And that's what he wanted. And no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, and that's the pivotal point, he came to himself. He realized, this isn't a steak. This isn't mashed potatoes. This isn't greens. This is slop. I'm trying to eat what the pigs are eating. I'm in a place I should not be in. So when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as your hired servant.'" So he came to himself. He realized he wasn't supposed to be in a place that he was in. And he arose and came to his father's house. But while he was still yet a long way off, his father saw him. And his father felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son, and he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Amen. Now you see in the scripture, it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful parable Jesus told. A lot of people pull from it to talk about the grace of God. They talk about the restoration of God. He's going to put you back into a position where you were promised and you ran away from. But I want to specifically hone in on the fact of how the Father responded. You see, the Father could have responded in anger and irritation due to his son leaving and throw his inheritance away. His father could have turned to him and said, "You demanded your inheritance. You demanded it early and completely fell out of line with where you should have been. You turned your back on me and you do not deserve to be called my son, yet alone my servant." He could have said that. He could have also rebuked him. He could have torn him down. He could have given him exactly what he deserved. He could have given him exactly what he deserved. But in spite of being entitled, and I promise I'm going someplace with this, just keep with me. But in spite of being entitled and turning his back on his father, in spite of denying his father's position, his father did not give him what he deserved. His father did not rebuke him. His father did not deny him. His father did not curse him and cast him out. But his father embraced him and loved him. His father did not reprimand him and rebuke him. His father did not kick him out and send him where he came from. Send him back to those slops. His father didn't even give him a, "I told you so, and I knew this would happen." No, his father did not. His father did not give him what he deserved. But this is what he did. His father felt compassion for him, and his father ran to him and embraced him. Church, how many of us are like that? How many of us have ran from the things of God and we've run so far that we don't deserve the mercies of God, but God has ran and he's grabbed us and embraced us and loved us. His mercies never fail. His mercies never fail. This is just like us. We have denied God. We have ran and thrown ourselves away. We have turned our back on the things of God. And when I deserved to be thrown away, he did not throw me away. When I deserved to be cast out, he did not cast me out. When you deserved to be rebuked, he did not rebuke you. When you deserved to be denied and cast out and forgotten, he did not forget you. He did not cast you out. He loved you in spite of it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. His mercy never fails. In those moments when you thought you didn't deserve it, he still gave his mercy. Amen. Isn't that right, church? How many of us can think back to the times where we did not deserve God's mercy and he loved us in spite of it? Amen. He gave it to us in spite of it. Jesus. When I ran so far away and was caught up in hidden sin, and I ain't even gonna lie to you, I'm not gonna try and act distinguished, I'm not gonna try and act like something I ain't. When I was caught up in hidden sin and addictions, he still extended me mercy. When I felt like I didn't deserve the mercy of God, it was still extended to me. When I was acting foolish and I was acting like a straight up the best sinner there was, he still extended mercy. When I didn't want his mercy, he still gave me that mercy. Jesus. That's the beauty about his mercy, though. You may feel like you don't deserve it, and you shouldn't be extended it, and you should not. He shouldn't extend his mercy to you. He shouldn't give you his grace. He shouldn't give you restoration, but he does. But God's grace and mercy isn't determined on what makes sense to you. It's what makes sense to him. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for those times that it didn't make sense to me. I'm thankful for the times I ran to an altar and he forgave me for the 1,000th time. And I said, "God, why are you forgiving me? Why are you healing me? Why are you restoring me from those sins, those addictions that I said I would give up the 1,000th time? And here's the 1,001th. Why? Because his mercies are never failing. His mercies are never ending. He loves you. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's all of us. If we really wanted to sum something up, that is all of us. And such were some of you. We don't deserve to be inheriting the kingdom of God. And such were some of us. We don't deserve to be in perfect alignment with the things of God. And such were some of us. But you were washed. You were Wash, what does that mean? He took your sins and he threw them away. He took your sins and he washed your clothes clean. He washed your heart whiter than snow. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, guys. Do we not? It's kind of significant to me. I sit there and I read that and I go back over it and over it again and over it again. And I'm like, we really don't deserve the things of God. We really don't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. I really don't deserve to be preaching right now to y'all. I really don't deserve to be playing drums every Sunday morning and worshiping every Wednesday night through my playing of drums. And I don't deserve to be doing videography for the church, but God. But God, in spite of what I was doing behind the church's back, in spite of what I was doing behind God's back, his mercy was still extended to me. Why does his mercy never fail, though? That's the question I came to myself when I was writing this sermon. I was trying to figure out, why does his mercy never fail? I'm a big person who asks questions. I ask questions in my mind more so, and then I try to figure them out. And that was a question I kept coming to myself. I was like, why would he show me mercy? When I don't feel like I deserve mercy, why would he show me mercy? When I don't even deserve mercy, why would he show me mercy? And that brings me to my first point. It's because his mercies never fail, because his love never ends. David was trying to emphasize that God's love for us never ends because he took the entire chapter of Psalms 136 to emphasize this. Psalms 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. You know what that means? That means his love endures forever. That means his love is never ending. You may not want it, but his love is still going to be there when you don't want it. You may not think you deserve it, but his love is still going to be there even when you don't deserve it. But there's another way you could say that his love never ends, but there's another way I like to think about it. His love is not contingent, but it is consistent. What does that word contingent mean? It means it's not up for question. His love is not up for question. It's not up for change. You may think it can change. You may think it should change, but it won't. That's what it means. His love is contingent, but it is consistent. When I don't think his love should be extended, it's still going to be extended. When I don't think his love should be brought to me, it's still brought to me. When I was walking through the highest of mountains, his love was still there. When I was in the lowest of valleys, his love was still there. When everything was going right, his love was still there. When everything was going wrong, his love was still there. His love is consistent, not contingent. Romans 5:7-8 says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows us his love for us, or God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? It means his love wasn't contingent on where I was at. His love didn't matter that I was stuck in my sin, that I was stuck in my addiction, that I was walking in things I shouldn't have been walking, that I was looking at things I shouldn't have been looking at, that I was listening to things that I shouldn't have been listening to. But God, he stepped in the gap and he restored me. He stepped in the gap and he protected me in the name of Jesus. His love wasn't waiting for me to become perfect, but his love was perfectly holy. He loved me when I was yet just a sinner. And that's true for each one of us today in this room. We are all still sinners, and yet Christ died for us. And his love is still trying to reach us. His love was there for us when we weren't, when we didn't even want it, and when we didn't even deserve it. His love wasn't waiting for us to start becoming biblical, whatever you want to call them, theologists. It wasn't waiting for us to start reading our Bible 10 hours a day, praying 10 hours a day, and for the other 4 hours fasting. But his love was there even when we were denying his abilities and his power. I'm going to say that again. His love was there even when we denied his abilities and his power. Some of us have been denying his abilities and his power in our life. We can look back when we first came into church, and some of us, we didn't think God could forgive us of some of our sins. We didn't think God could forgive us of being a drug addict or an alcoholic. We didn't think God could forgive us of being a filthy, filthy sinner. And if some of y'all would have talked about your testimony and been truthful about your testimony, some of us may not want to be in this room right now. But he can work past that. And that's where we start. Sometimes we deny that his love can surpass what we've done and what we've gone through. His love was there even when you didn't think it was. When you felt all alone and thought drinking was the only way that you'd feel okay, His love was there. Or when you thought getting high was the only way you'd feel better, His love was there. His love was still there even when you didn't feel that it was there. God's never failing and never ending love is here today. And He is ready to pour out His mercy on you. He's ready to forgive you of your lusts, because we still all have those. We're not perfect. I'm not going to act perfect. He's there to forgive your lusts. He's there to forgive your addictions, your offenses, and your anger. He's here. He's here to show you His mercy. And two, because it doesn't just stop there. His love is great and it is never ending, but that's not only why His mercies will never fail. Number two, His mercies never fail because they have no end. Sometimes in life, we struggle. We struggle when we're at work and John decides to send in the reports a little late. We struggle whenever Janet decides to come in with a little attitude and she's just making my life a little bit harder that day. We struggle to show mercy whenever we are driving down the road and you get cut off by that one person. I got cut off right before church today. I went to Chipotle, made me mad. This car came in and almost took off the front end of my car. I almost lost it, but thanks be to God. I thought back to this lesson. I said, God is really trying to test me right now. Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. I may struggle to show mercy to John because he made my life a little harder today. Or Janet because she made me frustrated and she made me mad the rest of the day. Or Joe because he almost made me lose my Holy Ghost. I might have gotten in an argument with my spouse right before that. I'm not married, so I'm not telling y'all I'm married. But some of y'all might have gotten some arguments with your spouse right before this. Some of y'all might have lost your Holy Ghost with your kids because they were acting up. Some of y'all may have gotten in a fight with your sibling and it almost kept you from church today. But I'm glad I serve a God whose mercies never end. I'm glad I serve a God whose mercies are not like my mercies, whose mercies are extended even when I don't deserve them to be extended. I'm glad I serve a God who doesn't change just because he's having a bad day or he's just tired of sending out his mercies. I'm glad my God's mercies aren't determined if he's having a good day. I'm glad that his love is steadfast and his mercies never come to an end. His mercies don't take a rest day. And then I was thinking about this. I was like, why, if God's mercies don't take a rest day, why do we let our mercies take a rest day? Why do sometimes we decide to be, okay, we're going to be nice today. I'm going to treat everybody with respect. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to reach a soul today. And then the next day we're like, I'm not even going to treat my wife with respect. I'm not even going to treat my sister with respect. I'm not even going to treat my coworker with respect, let alone my boss. My dog I'm not going to treat with respect. I'm going to kick him when they get in the way when I'm walking. But why do we take a break from mercies whenever God doesn't take a break? I'm so thankful that I serve a God that doesn't take a break from his mercies. I'm so thankful that his mercies never fail and they never come to an end. They don't take a break because they have been working in overtime. Because yes, they have been working in overtime. But they work in the good and they work in the bad. They work when the kids are acting up and the spouse is getting on your ever-loving nerve. They work when you're living on the mountain or you're stuck in the valley. His mercies never come to an end. I'm glad he didn't see me and my addictions and cut mercy off from me. Or the fact that he didn't cut his mercy off from us just because we were living in sin and acting foolish and acting wrong. I'm glad he didn't withhold his mercy from you just because your marriage was in shambles or your life was falling apart. I'm glad a God did not cut his mercy off from my parents 21 years ago when their marriage was failing and when they didn't think they were going to be together much longer, but God stepped in that place. God took them and he restored them. When there were situations that could have easily defeated that marriage, when there were situations that his mercy should have not been extended to, but God, he stepped in the gap and he restored that marriage. I'm so thankful for a God whose mercies never end. In Jesus' name. His mercies are never ending. His mercies are like Ford. And Bishop may disagree with me because he's had some troubles with Ford. But built tough, no matter what you put it through, it's not going to fail you. It isn't going to just give you up because you're putting too much stress on it. It isn't going to just give up because you're limiting values, but it's still going to work even when your values are limited. It's going to look at your past and say, you did this, so I can't do this. No, it's not going to do that. But its mercy is going to be extended to you even when your past says otherwise. And that brings me to my third point and my final point. His mercies never fail because they are made new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. That's also why it's not going to look at your past and say, well, I can't do this. I can't give you mercy because you've asked for mercy too many times. You've asked for mercy a 1,500 times already. I'm not going to give it to you 1,501 times. No, his mercies are made new every morning. That means they reset. That means that you can't tap it out. That means that you can't reach the limit. No, but it's going to reach you. And it's he forgives and he forgets. That's the amazing part. When mercy reaches you, that means he's going to forgive you of whatever he's giving you mercy for. And he's going to forget that sin. Some of y'all don't believe me. I can feel that. Some of y'all don't believe me. And guess what? I brought homework. I brought something to back me up so I can prove to you why his mercies will forgive and forget. 1 John 1:19, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out all transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful towards their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. What does that mean? That means my God's mercy will forgive and it will forget every sin that I've done. That means tomorrow if I make the same mistake, I can fall on my knees and ask for forgiveness and he will forgive and he will forget. Even when your family members don't forget your sin. Even when your coworkers don't forget your sin, God's gonna forget your sin. The devil might hold it over your head. The devil might tell you, listen, you don't deserve to be forgiven again because you already asked 10,000 times. But when you go to God and say, God, forgive me, it's gonna be like it was the first time you asked for forgiveness about it. Jesus. His mercies don't just expire, but they are made new every morning. His mercies aren't just like a park ticket where you use it once and then that's it. Or use it 4 or 5 times and that's it. No, but they're made new every morning. It doesn't expire. And I'm so glad for God's mercies and that he is a merciful God and that they never fail. And musicians can come. And everybody can stand if they would like to. And I would encourage y'all to. But my final verse, Luke 23:34. Verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These were the words of Jesus when he was on the cross, when he was crucified on the cross, when his hands had nails driven through them and his feet had nails driven through them. These are the words of Jesus after he had been betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter. After he had been arrested and wrongfully convicted. After he had been mocked and he had a crown of thorns shoved on his head and he was bleeding from his head. After he had been beat across the back and across the body so many times that he should have been dead and he was unrecognizable. These were the words of Jesus. After he had suffered all that, he could have said anything he wanted. He could have said, none of y'all deserve my mercy. None of y'all deserve my grace. Why do you think I would forgive you of your sins? Because this is what you're doing to me. You've cast me out. You rebuked me. You've thrown me to the curb. You've given up on me. So I'm just going to give up on you. But no, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just like some of us, that is. We have thrown God to the side. We've given up on him. We've thrown him to the curb. We said, God, we're giving up. I'm walking away from this. I'm tired of doing the things because this person is getting on my nerve. Or this person caused me to be offended. Or you didn't do this in my life whenever you've already done everything else. And so I'm giving up on you, God. But there's a very real God that's in here today to restore you. There's a very real God in here today to show mercy on you because his mercies never fail. If everybody wants to come to the front, I would like to pray. And I would like to pray a prayer of forgiveness because there is forgiveness in this place today. There is forgiveness for the sinner who has been struggling with addiction. for the person who's been struggling with a hidden sin, for the person who's the drunk, who's the alcoholic, who's been struck on or strung out on alcohol or drugs, who's been struck out on pornography or whatever the sin may be. There's a very real God here today to heal and to forgive you of those sins. So God, I say you would touch this place today. Touch every heart in this place today. Touch every mind in this place today. You are a restoring God. You are restoration, God, and you are merciful, God. So show your mercy. Let your mercy fall in this place today. Let it fall on every heart and every mind. God, send your mercy. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive our hearts. Forgive our minds. Forgive everything that we've done, God, and show us grace. Show us grace today. God, put your hand down in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
No one can shut, no one can shut it. No devil from hell can stop what God has started. When God gives you a word, it's ever said, it's ever no devil from hell can block what God has promised. When God opens a door, no one can shut, no one can shut it. No devil from hell can stop what God has started.
That again, the only thing I can find in Scripture that can shut off the flow of God's mercy is when we shut off the flow of mercy to others. Amen. If we don't forgive others, God cannot forgive us. Amen. So I wonder, before we leave here tonight, what a great message, Brother Sylvia. Thank you for that word. Amen. That His love never ends, His mercy never ends, and it's new every morning. Amen. That's how we can be confident. How many of you, the enemy, I think the enemy does his best work, I find, between midnight and about 3 in the morning. I wake up and there's just that voice. You can't outrun your past. It's going to catch up with you. I'm going to destroy you. Your past mistakes are going to destroy you. Anybody but me? And it's in those moments, the only thing we can fall upon is the mercy of the Lord. I can't argue with what the enemy's telling me. You're right. I did mess up. I made a lot of mistakes. You're absolutely right. If those things come against me, I have no defense for myself. But I can fall on that never-ending mercy of the Lord. And it's new every morning. Isn't it amazing after the enemy comes in? The enemy keeps you up from 1:30 to 3 in the morning. You finally fall back asleep and you wake up and you open the blinds and the sun is shining and just that feeling. You know what? I made it another day. Amen. I'm going to make it through this. God's going to bring me through. Amen. But I want us to pray tonight before we leave this place. The only thing that can separate us from God's mercy is our inability to forgive others. Maybe even ourselves. Maybe even forgiving ourselves. So I want to ask us tonight that, God, I pray tonight, Lord, because I want that. I want what Brother Sylvia preached. I want every person, Lord, for goodness and mercy to be following us. Hallelujah, for your mercy to be made new every morning. Every human being, Lord, you shed blood at Calvary so we could experience that feeling of knowing that mercy has been extended and I'm not getting what I deserve. Hallelujah, but the Father saw me out the door and he came running to where I was out of compassion, even though I squandered things, even though I wasted things. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, and I don't want anybody to miss out on your mercy. So I pray tonight, Lord, that we would extend forgiveness. Well, how many times, Simon said, how many times do I have to forgive? 70 times 7 a day. That wasn't 490 is the magic number. It's completion. You just keep on forgiving. Just the same way that God forgives us, we forgive others. So I wonder, could you reach over and pray for your neighbor, maybe as a proxy? Meaning there, maybe it's not that person right now that you have something with, but maybe they're the proxy for somebody. All right? That I'm praying right now. I'm praying forgiveness. Here's the best way to do it. God, be merciful right now to that person. It's hard to pray God's mercy on somebody and hold a grudge against them at the same time. Amen. It's nearly impossible to pray that God will bless somebody and give them new mercy and pray that God will get them at the same time. So right now, I want you to pray, God, be merciful to them.
Sometimes it is easy to start on your destination without knowing the exact path that it takes to get there. To get to our destination, we need to follow the one who knows our predestined path. Be sure to subscribe and watch us. Also, visit us at www.livinghopemd.com.
So I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.